The following is a paid program, and the host is solely responsible for its content. Opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of KVOI or its sponsors. Welcome to Behind the Locker Room Door with Jeff Skurin, Glenn P. Howell, and Brad Alice. Presented by Nova Home Loans. This show is designed to give listeners a completely different perspective on sports. We want you to see sports from a different angle. That will help you appreciate what happens behind the locker room doors.
Welcome to Behind the Locker Room Door. I'm Brad Alice, joined by the coach, Jeff Skurin, joined by the player and the trainer, Glenn Howe. We got another packed show today. Guests in every subject segment. So let's go right to the current events. We're going to be discussing a lot of topics today, including our adaptive athletics segment. What's going on with Pima College Athletics with the guy heading that up, as well as everything you ever wanted to know about a football ref and then some. But speaking of football, that we're going to have some of that and more in current events. But congratulations to the South Point boys and girls cross-country teams. They swept the AIA Division III State Championships just a couple days ago in Gilbert. South Point sophomore Kylie Wild with a dramatic finish, passing her opponent with about 5 meters left. In fact, the opponent, when she saw that she got passed, was so distraught she collapsed and almost didn't finish.
Wow, she ended that's
up,
wild.
Yeah, Wild ended up winning by about 0.2 of a second officially, as she helped lead her team to victory. Rio Rico senior Roshan Miranda won an individual state title as well. Swimming, 7 individuals and one relay team won championships, led by Gregory School standout Avery Spade. She won in the 100 and fly and 100 breaststroke at the D3 championships. Riley Stewart of CDO won the 200 IM. Andrew Hsu of South Point won the boys 100 breaststroke. Sydney Even won for South Point, won the 200 free. And Amanda Farnham of Sabino won the 50 free. Paige Houseman won the Pushridge, won the 100 free. And in addition, the South Point 200 medley team with Sasha Ghanem, Alyssa Hernandez Haddock, Even, and Sophia Previtt also won titles. The Pushridge girls took second place as a team in D3. Bijan Robinson, the guy we talked about last week. Speaking of football, the former South Point standout was named Big 12 Newcomer of the Week. He had 151 total yards, including 113 on the ground, as Texas got a big win last Saturday.
Boy, he really looks like he's arrived. And of course, we all knew, I think, if there's a way to know, and of course, we all cheer for the hometown guy anyway, but if there's a way to know the future, we all kind of thought Bijan was the one.
Yeah, I'm happy for him to doing well. He just got the biggest thing is, as a freshman, when you're playing college football, is how long can you do it? You know, freshman year, you got to keep on continuing to do it. And I think he's got the work ethic to do it. And he's going to have some good linemen. I think they're going to do well.
Yeah, he's probably, you know, it's hard to say, and you guys have probably seen more high school football games than me, and I've seen a lot in this town. But he, to me, is in the top three of the running backs I ever saw, along with Kadeem, and actually a guy who played for coach here, Nathan Wise, who went on to play at Cincinnati and ended my younger brother's high school career with about 450 yards and, what, 6 touchdowns in a state quarterfinal game. But those are the 3 best running backs I saw. And you guys can weigh in, too. There's been a lot of good ones in Tucson, but those 3 were pretty special.
Yeah, you got to look at Michael Bates and Mario, too, and Mario Bates, but you know, Kadeem was the best one I ever seen in person, and he proved to be a stellar running back in college for 4 years. I think he's done a great job, and Kadeem, for me, was the best one I've seen in my years here. I've seen some other great backs, but you know, Kadeem's got to be number one I've seen.
I could tell you from trying to coach defenses against some of these guys that it's very tough to compare era to era, and we get into a trap of who's the best. But I could tell you that all around and physically, Bijan, and you know, is a different cat, completely different category. I look at it, somebody like Nathan Wise and Kadeem and Bijan, and what are statistically the top three, and they're just apples and oranges in terms of what they could do. But Bijan seems to be, I think, the best overall talent we've had out of Tucson in a long time.
Yeah, just to know, I know before you get the letters on Facebook, the Bates brothers played either before I entered high school, or Mario was actually a year, he was actually my grade, and when my freshman team went to go play Amphi, he, of course, was already on varsity.
Let me tell you, after coaching against those guys, I'll just say two words. They were good. That's three words.
Yeah. What an amazing family, too, when you throw in their cousins, the Bacons, and pretty amazing. Hey, speaking of athletes who've achieved at the next level, almost 40 local athletes signed with high schools. We can't get into them all, or with colleges, excuse me. But here are some of the highlights we want to. Alyssa Brown, a Saguaro basketball player, who's one of the prime. The top players in a long time. She signed with UNLV. Kathleen Foothills diver Summer Westmoreland, who we mentioned last week, with San Diego State. Sienega diver Haley Johnson signed with BYU. Haley Ramos, a Buena soccer player with the Air Force Academy. Sienega's Brianna Hayward is going to play softball for Texas Tech. Flowing Wells, Noah Estrella will play baseball at New Mexico State. Alyssa Feltman will play beach volleyball for the U of A. She's an Ironwood Ridge grad and one of those first of the new Ironwood Ridge who was one of the first locally to play beach volleyball. It's now catching on. Push Ridge's L. Robinson will play soccer at New Mexico. Sabino's Dylan Bradford, baseball at Washington State, and Saguaro's Aiden Reagan will swim at Indiana. We didn't want to discount anyone else, but those are the ones that, like, the big Power Five schools.
Power Five.
But you know what? The fact that some of you are going to Pima, some Embry-Riddle, some directional schools, I know there was a couple of Bakersfield, doesn't diminish the content. We'd be reading your names all day long. But congratulations, because, hey, not many people get to do that.
And that's a future show right there, Brad, because we're talking about we're getting more Big Five kids coming out of Tucson, which is really good. And I already know, because I've been part of doing all that, getting those kids there, is that we're getting better training here. We're getting better coaches that are doing stuff with them, doing the extra work. And I think that's what we're seeing, and that's where the product is coming out, is that we're getting these Big Five kids coming out.
And the variety of different sports is really, that's really amazing. It's so good to see a broad-based community. We are a diverse community, and that includes the type of sports we play, and as well as the type of kids we get. And it's a good, healthy thing for us.
And for those of you wondering, you may not have heard a few sports there. Football has two signing days. One is in early December. One is in early February. And there is a spring signing date for all the other sports. So there'll be a lot more. But the fact that so many signed in this early signing period is pretty fantastic. And finally, on a personal note for the three of us, a good friend of all of ours got not only his first win as a head coach, but Jay Dobbins got Tankaverde, their first win in a long, long time. They won last Friday night, a little over a week ago. So congratulations to Jay, as well as his staff. Yeah. A couple of them were ex-teammates of yours.
Yeah, there's Jeff Keywell and David Adams and Van Branden, all U of A football players. They did a great job. I was very impressed with that team. The first thing I look at a high school team is see what kind of technique they have. You know, if they have any technique on a different position. And I was told Jay after the game, I said, "Hey, man, I said, you really have been doing some teaching out here. And I think that's why these kids are playing much better. They look like they were playing football and they look like they knew how to play football. And that's the best thing you can give a coach." And I used to say that to Coach Skern all the time. His kids always knew where they were going. We put their hand in the ground. And that's the best thing you can do for a kid, is if they know when they have their hand in the ground or they're setting up, they know exactly where they're going. And that's good coaching.
And I don't think anybody's really surprised that Jay has done so well. He's a great individual with a great history, but a guy that knows football and loves kids. So congratulations.
Hey, just remind you, Behind the Locker Room Door is brought to you by Eric Painter and the presidential team at Nova Home Loans, Tucson's number one home lender. And it's that time of the show where we go where many want to go and probably some were scared to go. That's the coach's locker room with Coach Skurin as he talks to Pima College Athletic Director Jim Monaco.
Today in the coach's office, we've got my good old friend and a very proud member of my coaching tree, Coach Jim Monaco. Jimmy, I'm going to call you coach for the rest of your life. And he's now the athletic director at Pima College. And how are things going for you?
It's going great, Coach. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's always great to see you. And when you and I talk, we spend too many stories. So let's get down to business. Tell me about Pima College athletics in the era of COVID.
Well, it's insane, like everywhere else. You know, everything was canceled postponed from fall to spring. We're working really hard to get all these schedules right. As you know, I have a pretty direct sense of operation, so I've told our coaches it's going to take an awful lot of give and take. We have 13 sports, and it's going to be tough with fields, with facilities, with athletic training, but it's going forward, and we finally got the kids back on campus actually this week in certain pods working out.
Which sports are coming first?
Well, right now we have every sport on for workouts, but when we hit spring, basically January, it'll start men's and women's basketball and volleyball will be the very first sports to start. And because the NJCAA has their own opinion, soccer's not going to start till March. So they'll actually have about 6 weeks of training, which is actually a good thing.
So for those that are worried about recruiting and their kid and stuff like that, you think they have a little bit more time this year, maybe?
I do. And so many parents have been worried about recruiting, Coach. As you know, having done it yourself for so long, it gets to become a very tense situation for these people. But we've tried to make them understand that, you know, the campuses are closed, recruiting is going on, but don't panic. There's going to be time. The coaches are going to be out there. And the NJCAA has made extra room for these young people coming in because they've basically canceled this whole season and they've upped the scholarship amounts.
Well, that, you know, and the kids that come in, you know, and give it a try in the JUCO level have to realize that if they make their grades and if they perform on the field, they are going to get the first looks in recruiting.
Oh, they're going to be gone in a semester. You know, and that's what parents really had a hard time. And both of us know we've had to go through that football wise. And they always want to make that decision. Well, do I want to go to Pima or do I want to go Division II? And Division II is always going to be there. But if you play at the JC level and you exceed and you get your grades, you're going to be worth more to even a Division II school because they're getting somebody who's already proven. You've gotten the freshman year out of the way for them, and it's really a great opportunity for the kid.
And it teaches the coaches that are giving out the scholarship, so to speak, it teaches them who's ready to perform in college at the athletic level and become a student without the high school, the format around a high school kid that in some ways protects them. That come on, when a kid goes to college, they're on their own academically a lot more.
They're on their own. And let me say this, and I learned this from you. When we brought those kids in, we took care of them because it was our job to take care of them. When they moved to a lot of other schools, they don't feel the same way. It's their job is to teach them athletics, or our job was to get them graduated and teach them athletics at a high skill level. But you're 100% right. It teaches this kid, this student athlete, how can I make it in college? And we give them a little bit more help with that also.
Well, you took over, you know, and did, I think, exceeded what I did in terms of taking care of the kids. That was, you know, your thing as a head coach when you took over the football program. But without scholarships in hand, that's the only thing we have to offer kids is, hey, we're going to give you a good competitive football program. We're going to train you athletically and in a weight room, and we're going to get you graduated so you could be on a level to go out and get a scholarship, because without that, they could be the best athlete in America and they're not going anywhere. And we both know that happens all the time.
All the time. All the time. And probably the saddest part about not having as much JUCO football throughout the country is here you have Deion Sanders takes over, you know, the Jackson State. And what's the first thing he does? Goes out and recruits 14 JUCO players, his first 14 signings. So it's going to tell you, you know, that's the young person you want. They've got all the trauma of leaving high school, as you phrased it, you know, having that blanket, that bubble. That trauma is now gone. They understand a lot more of the college aspect of academics and how to juggle time management and things like that.
You know, when we were at Pima together, we had a couple great teams, and we were very fortunate to be able to get a good nucleus of Tucson kids and some supplemental kids come from the outside. But when we had that last great team, my Mike Stoops came over and watched one of our practices, and he said, you know, your freshmen and sophomores run our freshmen and sophomores completely off the field. And I said, yeah, I see that, but, you know, our kids, a lot of them don't make grades, and this is their first attempt at anything serious in college, and I don't know if they're going to matriculate to be able to be on the next level.
Well, you're right. We had a great relationship with Mike and Mark Stoops over at the U of A, and they came a lot and spoke with you and did a lot of things with us. But and that's a fact. But to your credit, you were the head coach. Those kids did move on. Many, many moved on and did incredible things. You know, they've come back to Tucson and Arizona because of what you built in that program and what we carried on. But you're 100% right. They're here because of that academic lack of integrity that they've had throughout their careers.
Well, one of the things I'd like to do is think I hired the right guys like you to take, not just coach, but to take care of kids so that they have it. I mean, listen, you were responsible for taking care of like a kid like Juan Underwood, who ended up playing at Marshall, and when he lost the net that we provided for him here, you know, he did great on the football field, but some of the other aspects were just a little bit too tough for them. And I've talked to him several times, and he's told me the same things. He said, you know, I didn't have Coach Monaco calling me every day. And so, to your credit, I mean, that's you know what that was like. And when you became the head coach, it expanded 100-fold.
Agreed. And you know, there are so many people that help you through your life. And like we were talking before this, you know, there were so many times you try to buck the system because you just don't get it yet. And that's what was taught. You know, I told my coaches, listen, when Coach Scarron hired us, he hired us to do a job. If we didn't do our job, he fired us. So you give them the background, you give them the opportunity to do what you need to do, you teach them what you want done, and then you hopefully they carry it forward. And you did. You hire. Listen, you're only as good as the people you hire.
That's a fact.
And you taught me that. Your exact words were, you always have to hire your guys.
You know, and now you've got to move forward with Pima College,
yep,
despite what's been thrown at you, because you owe it to the kids.
Yes, absolutely. And that is student-driven. This year, Coach, we were blessed at the end of spring last year. We graduated our highest number of athletes, but we also had the highest GPA in our athletic department in history. It was 2.96.
That's incredible for JUCO. People out there that don't know it, you know, if you have anything in the 2.3, 2.2 range,
right,
in a JUCO with your athletic program, you're doing a heck of a job. So anything over 2.5 is superior. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. Our coaches worked hard. We got kids to study hall. We also put in a lot of money getting extra tutors, because like you said, the help's not there. So you raise money. It just can't be for athletic things. It has to be part of the academic thing, and we did that.
So how's our basketball programs going to be? Because those have been the highlight of Pima the last couple of years, that and soccer for sure.
Boss, I'm going to tell you what, our women's basketball program, Todd Holehouse, is just he's a reload kind of guy, and we really had a shot at the national championship last year. Because of COVID, it got canceled. They're going to be outstanding. Coach Peabody has done an outstanding job recruiting our soccer programs. Once again, they reload. We have a new track coach, and he's taken our program from 39 athletes to 94. With the loss of football, we are over 315 athletes, and that's without football program.
That's incredible. But thank you again. Good to see you as always. Keep up the good work at Pima, and you know, go Aztecs.
Thanks, Coach. Thank you very much for everything.
That was Coach's Locker Room with Jim Monaco, the athletic director of Pima College. When we come back, we're going to talk some officiating. You're listening to Behind the Locker Room Door.
Hi, it's Bill and Ramon from CPRDU. We're proud to sponsor Behind the Locker Room Door. As with any activity, there's always a possibility of getting injured.
CPRDU trains many of our youth, high school, and college coaches in CPR and first aid. We want you to come and take a certified CPR course. Mention you heard this on Behind the Locker Room Door and get a 50% discount. Contact us at cpr2u.com or call us at 520-400-8204. At CPR2U, we save lives.
Concord General Contractor, where integrity, collaboration, growth, and being uncommon comes together in every project we complete.
This is Coach Jeff Skurin. I'd like to tell you about my friend Dan Price of Price & Price Attorneys. As our family attorney, Dan was so much more than a professional, helping us in our time of need. He was a true friend of the family. If you don't know Dan, let me tell you that he's organized, prepared, intelligent, and a sincere person as you're ever going to meet. We trust Dan with our family needs, and we know that you can trust him with yours. If you have a personal injury case, call Price & Price and ask for Dan.
We'd like to thank our sponsor, Force for Health, where every body can be a force for health. For themselves, their families, and communities. Visit theforceforhealth.com for more information.
This is Edmund Marquez with Allstate Insurance. I had the pleasure of playing football for Coach Skurin on the Sabino High School undefeated state championship team of 1990. Coach Skurin taught us to leave it all out on the field, to have a plan and to work hard to execute that plan. At our local Allstate agencies, we take that same winning attitude when helping our clients protect their assets and their loved ones. If you want to be in good hands and save money on your home and auto insurance, please call the Edmund Marquez Allstate agencies today.
Welcome back to Behind the Locker Room Door. This segment of Behind the Locker Room Door is brought to you by Edmund Marquez Allstate Agencies. You're in good hands with Edmund and his team for your auto and home insurance needs. And I think a lot of coaches would say they're in good hands when Jim Fogeltance was officiating their games. Some of the fans maybe not so sure, but as Coach Stern was saying off the air, if you don't get booed, you haven't been an official. But he's been an elementary school principal. He's been an educational consultant. He has officiated at the Pac-12 JUCO and high school levels. He's also been a Pac-12 booth replay official and a teacher of officials here in Tucson. And we are joined by Jim Fogeltance. And Jim, welcome to the show. And I guess, what's it like to be an official? What kind of glutton for punishment do you have to be to do that?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for inviting me down here to talk to you about officiating. It's a passion of mine, officiating. I have been since about 1967. That's how far back I go. Being official is, getting better in terms of they have more to work with now than we did when we first started out. When I started out, there weren't very many training programs. You kind of knew somebody that got you into officiating. You went down to meetings, you took a test, and you got put out on the field. But I've, like I say, been officiating for a long time. I went into mainly the high school from about 1967. I had my first college game in 71 in Silver City, New Mexico, small college. Eventually worked my way into junior college. In 1978 was recommended for the Pac-10 at that time. It's when the first year of the Pac-10. And I'll tell you a little story about that. I had a game out at Santa Rita where Coach Skurin was coached later on in life. But Paul Petty was a coach from Sunnyside. And I had an inadvertent whistle. I was a referee. And that's the worst thing that an official can have is an inadvertent whistle because nothing's going to good's going to come out of it. And what happened was they were paying Santa Rita, and the Sunnyside linebacker broke through the line and hit the quarterback, and the ball went up in the air. And as it was coming down, I blew my whistle. And he caught the ball and walked into the end zone, so that would have been 6 points. So I had to suck it up, and I went over to see Coach Petty, and I said, Coach, I had an inadvertent whistle. And I said, I made a mistake. I said, just let you know. And he said, well, we keep the ball. I said, you're not going to get that touchdown, are you? Are you? And I said, no, you're not going to get a touchdown. And he said, well, I'm going to get the ball, right? And I said, no, you're not going to get the ball either because we got to replay the down. And as it turned out, Sunnyside intercepted a pass as Santa Maria was marching down the field. And I ran up to the kid and I said, are you Catholic? And he says, no, why? I said, well, Hail Mary, full of grace. You just saved my butt.
that's great.
And interestingly enough, Paul Petty was one of the coaches that recommended me for the Pac-10, which I've always been grateful for. Worked at Pac-10 for till 2002. In the interim, worked the USFL for 2 years. And that was a pretty interesting 2 years because my wife said, well, you just went from being gone 40 weeks out of the year to being gone 102. So because, as you know, football doesn't take up just the time. You're on a field. It involves all those things that go along with it with studying and clinics. Nowadays, they have Zoom going on. I've never worked so hard in my life than when the pandemic came in, and now we're doing everything by Zoom. That's pretty much my career. I had two games that really stand out to me, the 1987 Rose Bowl. In those days, we didn't get too many bowl games because the PAC officials weren't allowed to work bowl games outside of the Rose Bowl and the East-West game. So I had a 1987 Rose Bowl, and then in 1982, I had the infamous Cal-Stanford game where the five backward passes.
Oh, my brother was in that game.
And the band was on the field.
You were at that game?
Yeah, I was a back judge on that game.
Really? My brother was in that game.
Oh, I'll be darned.
He made the final block to get Bowen into the end zone, and he had the touchdown. Again.
And I always wondered where that bent trombone in your car came from.
Well, you know, we need high school suffering from officials in terms of numbers. We're not getting the young guys. And I would encourage young athletes, both men and women, to go into officiating. Whether it's football or basketball, or I mean football, the NFL has a couple of women in the NFL. Most colleges now, conferences have women officiating. So I encourage you to get involved in officiating.
We'll learn more on how to get involved in officiating and hear some more of Jim's great stories. Had no idea you did the USFL. I'm a USFL junkie. Hey, this segment of Behind the Locker Room Door is brought to you by the Edmund Marquez Allstate Agencies. You're in good hands with Edmund and his team for your auto and home insurance needs. We'll be back with more with Jim Fogeltance and the rest of the crew right after this.
We would like to thank our sponsor, Tom Jones. Keep listening for the Adaptive Athlete segment, where we talk about athletes who overcame the odds and continued their athletic career, and those who have turned into athletes despite their unfortunate circumstances.
This is Edmund Marquez with Allstate Insurance. I had the pleasure of playing football for Coach Skurin on the Sabino High School undefeated state championship team of 1990. Coach Skurin taught us to leave it all out on the field, to have a plan and to work hard to execute that plan. At our local Allstate agencies, we take that same winning attitude when helping our clients protect their assets and their loved ones. If you want to be in good hands and save money on your home and auto insurance, please call the Edmund Marquez Allstate Agencies today.
Concord General Contractor, where integrity, collaboration, growth, and being uncommon comes together in every project we complete. Special thanks to our sponsor, Hazen Enterprises, providing quality office space in Tucson for the past 40 years.
We're giving you a little bit of a look behind the locker room door. That's right. Behind the locker room door is brought to you by CPR2U. Learn CPR and save a life. As always, I'm joined by the coach, Jeff Skurin, by the former player, current trainer. Are you ever really a former player, Glenn?
Yeah.
Because you still look like you could put in a sub-5 out there at least. But we're talking officiating. We're here with former and current Pac-10 12 official Jim Fogeltance. We learned in the last segment, refereed maybe the greatest play in college football history. Although I'll tell you that fake knee down the other night was pretty sweet. I turned that game off. I'm so upset. I turned it off to walk the dog. Just talk about his history refereeing both college, pro, high school. And I know Coach Skurin has had some positive and who knows what other kind of run-ins with Jim over the years, but I know you had a question for Jim.
Yeah, we're all curious. We all would like to know what happens between the booth and the field when we see a replay and you know, what are the dynamics that happens there? Because sometimes they get it right, but sometimes they don't. And sometimes you just can't believe your eyes. And so just kind of walk us through what that's like.
Okay, well, replay started in 2005, and at that time it was designed actually came in from the Big Ten, and it was designed to just fix the big plays. And we used a TiVo, if you can imagine. Cool. And I was the communicator, and Bobby Rao, who's local official, passed away. He was the head official for the replay, and I had to keep all the statistics by hand. And then later on, they added what we call a recorder, and everything's become computerized now. But we went from a TiVo to now we have a very sophisticated technician and equipment. I've got a monitor in front of me that I have four camera angles. Instantly, I have the what they call the program feed. Then I have the high end zone, low end zone, and using a cart cam or a handheld. And if you're lucky, you might have a camera on the goal line. The bigger the game, the more cameras. Usually we have seven or eight cameras, maybe up to nine. But if you're in a big game, a high-profile game, you might have 25 cameras. And more they're adding cameras to the pylons or add them to the line to gain, which always gives us more views. The more views we have, the better chance we have of getting it right, as Jeff, as Coach Skern asked about. The when we first started, we didn't have even a guidebook. We just kind of were winging it. We had certain plays we could have reviewed. We had certain plays we couldn't. Nowadays, we have our own rule book and replay, and it's become very, very sophisticated. Most of the bigger conferences, your Power 5 conferences, all have a command center, and they assist you with what you're looking at. So, like, if I have a play I'm reviewing, I'm talking to the command center, and we're exchanging views and ideas and so forth. But what happens is when we see a play, we review every single play. Every play that's gone, we review. And our national instructor, a gentleman by the name of Dean Blandino, you probably heard him, he's an expert on it. The guy is so talented on being able to analyze angles and cameras and so forth that he's our national instructor. And he has emphasized all the time, we have a process. So if on a typical play, I'm counting the offense, my partner's counting the defense, we're talking about the line to gain, we're talking about the scrimmage line, we're talking about are they in the red zone, are they, you know, what side of the field they're on, what's the position of the ball. All that's done before they even snap the ball. Once they snap the ball, I focus in on the quarterback, and I don't release the quarterback until I see that he's been cleared of any kind of illegal hits, targeting, or anything like that. And once I do that, then I go right back to the ball. And replay focuses on the ball because that's where things are going to happen. Fumbles, catches, no catches, goal line plays are all going to be on the ball. The most difficult play that I think we have is the catch where the receiver is going to the ground to catch. And is it a trap or is it not a trap? And that's when you really want some low angles. But that's a difficult call. The other call that's difficult is because there's so much emphasis on it, the safety rules, targeting. And if the, even if it's not called on the field, I have the ability and the authority to, if I see targeting, even though it's not a flag, I can stop the game and then review it from the booth. And if we can't let a targeting foul stand, in other words, we have to have indisputable video evidence that it's either targeting or it's not targeting. There's no in-between. Because the severity of the consequence of targeting is the player is ejected, or I should say disqualified. Now, they can stay on the sideline the rest of the game, but if they're disqualified the first half, then they have to sit out the rest of the game. If they're disqualified the second half, then they have to sit out that half plus the first half of the next game. So it's very difficult. Another tough call is the goal line and when there's a plunge. Because you got so many bodies, and what you're looking for is where the ball is. Because if the, and then once you find the ball, then you're looking to see if there's any kind of a body part down in the on the ground. Hopefully, you have a goal line shot. Because what happens in replay is, if the camera's behind the ball, it pushes it forward. If the camera's in front of the ball, it pushes it backwards. So Dean showed us a film several years ago where in a game. One angle looked like the guy scored. The other angle looked like he didn't. So now you, what do? You it's a coin toss. That's when you have to say stands, because if you don't have video evidence to overturn a call, you have to let it stand. Now, once I stop the game, the referee comes over to the headset, and I ask him. The first question is, "What's the ruling on the field?" And he says, "It's a touchdown." I said, "Okay." I said, and it'll say it's a pylon play as a runner dives for the pylon. So now I start looking for the views that give me the best view of the pylon. My communicator is talking to the truck, and he'll say, "Give me a shot with the from the upside, you know, the high end zone shot. Give me another view if you got it." Yeah, his hand did touch the pylon, you know, or he got a body part down in the goal line, or the ball came out or didn't come out. So then once I make a decision, I'm in conference with the command center, and I usually ask the command center, do you agree with my decision? And they usually say yes. If they say no, then we have a few more words to talk about. But ultimately, I have the final decision. Okay. It's with the rule book. Says, but I've never been in a position where I had to do that override the command center, because they're very helpful, because they may be looking at something differently than I am or from a different perspective, and so we always have. But then once I make the decision, I tell the referee, I said the decision is that he broke the plane, the ball broke the plane before the left foot went out of bounds. I give a very descriptive analysis of the play. I also tell him the it's a touchdown. Now, let's say it's a catch, no catch, and I rule catch. I said, and the officials on the field rule it an incomplete pass. I said, I've got a catch. Well, they haven't moved the chain, so I said, put the ball on the 24-yard line in a five position, which is the hash mark. It's going to be first and 10. You're going to wind the clock. And the reset the clock to 2:04 or whatever the time is. So I have to make sure I give all that information, because what we don't want to do is to give information and have it incomplete and have the referee go out on the field, make the announcement, and then bring them back.
Yeah,
that's awkward. It makes us look like dodos.
Yeah, so you make the final decision. So that's that was my question. So I was going to ask is that you make the final decision, and the guys at the command center are just assisting you.
Yes, except for one play, targeting. We have a guru that has to make the decision on targeting. And for consistency throughout the conference, we have a person at the command center that's his job is to
only target
our supervisor. Yeah, okay. On targeting. Yes. That's different. That's you know, they're trying to get that out of the game. We have two targeting rules. We have what they call a 9-1-3, which is the crown of the helmet against a non-defenseless player or any player. So if I use the crown of my helmet and I use a spear, then that's one. And then they have what they call a 9-1-4, which is above against a defenseless player,
yeah.
And that's just above the shoulders and the neck and head area. And it doesn't have to be with the helmet. It can be with the forearm.
Yeah, I think one of the most valuable players here also, not only you are, is the guy that's running the film back. I mean, the guy that has to get those shots like that. It's got to go one, two. It's like seconds.
Well, in the old days, I had what they call a pickle. And I would watch for replays on the live screen, and I'd hit that button, and that would notify the IR that I have a replay. Now we have technicians that run all the equipment. They are very good. They're very well trained. We have a person in the office, Mr. Ortiz, who trains them, and they have a tough job, because they have to mark the play start. They have to let me know when replays are coming up. They'll tell me, "Here's hey Foggy, look at E, and look at Echo, look at David, look at this one." So yeah, Jeff.
If for guys out there that want to get into officiating, tell us what is the path, because we need a bunch of young officials.
We want new officials. And like I said, we don't care if they're female, male, whatever. We want young, enthusiastic, that want to improve, want to get better, that want to move up the ranks. I would have them contact the Arizona Interscholastic Association and talk to a person by the name of Tyler Saramelli. And they'll get all the information they need, and we'll bring them into our local association, give them a lot of training, and hopefully they'll have a great career.
Well, despite what you might remember from my days on the field, I sure appreciated you guys and everything you did. I think I was pretty easy on officials, particularly as I got older. At least that's what my wife tells me. So,
Coach Skern was an easy coach to work for. He'd start raising his eyebrows a little bit, but you know, just ignore him and
tell the truth, Jim.
Once in a while, he would call me on a Saturday morning and say, "Foggy, would you take a look at this game?" He says, "And here are the plays to look at." And so, we had a lot of fun doing that, Coach Skern, and I appreciate you bringing me down here.
I appreciate you, buddy.
We could have kept
you
on for quite a while longer. That was Jim Fogeltanz, who's a former Pac-12 official and a replay official now. When we come back, it's going to be our adaptive athletics segment. You're listening to Behind the Locker Room Door, brought to you by CPR2U.
This is Coach Jeff Skurin. I'd like to tell you about my friend Dan Price of Price & Price Attorneys. As our family attorney, Dan was so much more than a professional, helping us in our time of need. He was a true friend of the family. If you don't know Dan, let me tell you that he's organized, prepared, intelligent, and a sincere person as you're ever going to meet. We trust Dan with our family needs, and we know that you can trust him with yours. If you have a personal injury case, call Price & Price and ask for Dan.
Becoming a homeowner is probably on your bucket list, but are you ready to go for the goal? You might have heard that interest rates are at an all-time low, but what does that mean for you? Eric Painter with Nova Home Loans Presidential Team is a former athlete and letter winner from the U of A, and he wants to help you navigate the current market and score your dream home. If you want to work with a lender who'll never stop working for you, call Eric Painter today at 419-9457 or visit novapresidentialteam.com. NMLS 172753. Nova Home Loans NMLS 3087. BK09024. 49. Equal housing opportunity. Terms and conditions may apply.
Special thanks to our sponsor, Hazen Enterprises, providing quality office space in Tucson for the past 40 years.
One day while motoring around free and easy and listening to his favorite radio station, Bob heard all about it. Jack Furrier Tire and Auto Care, advertising affordable tires and no hidden extras. Jack Furrier's one low price included valve stems and the other critical tire thingies that cost additional elsewhere, but not at Jack Furrier's. This was music to Bob's ears, as he knows to never underestimate the importance of thingies. Such a shame that not every tire dealer advertises total tire prices, he thought. But with this knowledge, I can do better. As synchronicity and predictable cliches would have it, yes, you guessed it. At that moment, Bob spotted one of Jack Furrier's 14 convenient locations. With no hesitation and great acceleration, Bob claimed his new set of quite affordable steel-belted radials, installed for one low price at Jack Furrier Tire and Auto Care. Thingies included.
Do better like Bob at Jack Furrier Tire and Auto Care, the locals' choice for affordable tires and quality auto repair. Jack Furrier's, since 1960, here to get you there.
The Adaptive Athlete segment is brought to you by Tom Jones.
You're listening to Behind the Locker Room Door. I'm Brad Ellis, joined by Jeff Skurin and Glenn Howell. We had a great discussion with Jim Fogeltan that actually continued into the break. This is our Adaptive Athletics segment, which is brought to you by Tom Jones. We thank Tom Jones for sponsoring this program and the Adaptive Athletics segment. Guys, before we get to our interview, just any last thoughts on having Jim in here?
Oh, man, we could have had Jim in here for all day long, man, just knowing about what his history with the USFL and I mean, it would just have been, you know, just the things that he could have given some stories about, you know, about some of the games he was in. He was actually official in the big play.
And the Cal Stanford game, and probably my brother was in the number one play of all time in people's memories that follow football. There was no bigger play, and I teased him all through these years about that trombone.
Yeah.
As soon as I found out he was in that, I always told him, "Is that why you have that bent up trombone in your car?" Yeah. And he is such a good man that he wants to be right. So you could, you know, this is the great part of officials, you know, the best ones, Fogey taught me this, the best ones, you never know that they're there on the field. And if you got a beef with them, the good ones always want to hear it and they want to see the film so they can get better.
Our next guest, we're going to change topics to adaptive athletics. Our next guest is Pete Hughes, the director of adaptive athletic program at the University of Arizona. Pete's a native New Yorker who was born with a condition called, and I'm going to butcher this, arthrogryposis, that prevented him from playing regular sports. However, he was a fan, so he became a PA announcer. He later became a coach, and it wasn't until he went to Australia that he was really introduced to adaptive athletics and wheelchair basketball. He later got into coaching at that level, got so good that he earned a scholarship to the U of A to play some wheelchair basketball. Later became a coach. He's coached, among other things, wheelchair track, where he's taken teams to the Paralympic Games in Beijing. He's coached women's wheelchair basketball, where they went to four straight finals appearances, winning two titles in 2012 and 2014. And in 2017, Pete was promoted director of adaptive athletic program at the U of A, where he's grown the program into one of the largest, in fact, maybe the largest of its kind in the world. So we welcome Pete Hughes on, and Pete, just want to know, what have you done, and what is the future of adaptive athletics at the U of A?
Well, thanks for having me on, guys. We'd greatly appreciate the opportunity to talk about adaptive athletics to anybody. And, you know, what we've done is, for the first time ever, the state of Arizona has supported our program. We had the governor down here last year. We had a ribbon cutting affair for our new brand new golf simulator with our partners over at Campus Rec. So if you ever want to hit in a racquetball court, you get to hit on that fancy golf simulator we have over there. We have the largest adaptive sport program in the nation by far, actually. We have 7 sports teams. We're adding adaptive swimming. We have a gentleman that was featured on our wheelchair basketball team, a guy named Josh Brewer on the Pac-12 network. He's going to be swimming for us now. He's decided to take a break from basketball. So we're adding swimming, and then we're going to try ambulatory running as well, you know, like these blade runners you see that go about Mach 3 on the track. So we're excited about the growth of the program. You know, obviously, we got to get through COVID. So yeah, That's where we're at.
Well, Pete, what do you think? I want to talk a little bit about the future. Do you think that we're going to see, with the way things are moving, you know, in our society, do you think that we're going to see maybe a league of a conference that'll have adaptive athletes? You know, like, you know, like the Pac-12 and the Big Ten, and, you know, you think that'll ever come to fruition there?
Yeah, well, I think there are some challenges with that. We do have a collegiate division in wheelchair basketball. So the men's and women's programs, they compete against other universities like Alabama, University of Illinois, Missouri. So there's about 15 universities all throughout the United States, and we compete. It makes it difficult for us because we have to fly to all of these events. So here at the University of Arizona, we're trying to help local teams like San Diego State get off the ground. They're starting a new program. University of Michigan, you know, they're starting a program. So we're trying to get that where I don't know if it's going to be a pure Pac-12 just because of the amount of population of athletes that we're all trying to recruit from the same smaller group, right? It would be great if we did have something like that, and we should have at least another Pac-12 team in so that we can have some kind of a rivalry game. Right now, our biggest rivalry is University of Illinois, and that's pretty far away.
Pete, this is Coach Skirn. What do you see as the opportunities for some of these athletes, depending upon the sport, obviously, but some of these athletes integrating into regular collegiate sports? Is that possible? Can the rules allow that? What do you see as that for the future?
Yeah, I think they're trying to do that with swimming and with ambulatory running, and then also wheelchair racing. So there's a great documentary out on Netflix now called Rising Phoenix that was produced by Tatiana McFadden, who is one of the world's most famous wheelchair racers. She won the Boston Marathon. I think she has 19 medals at the Paralympics, and she. If you guys get a chance to see that, it's a great piece on U.S. Paralympic history.
I've seen that. It's hard not to watch that without tears in your eyes, baby. That's a great story.
It's a little bit of a tearjerker on occasion, for sure. but you know, it's about competition. And she was the first person to have in her high school the points count for her racing. This was in Maryland, I think, where she was doing that fight. I know Texas does it, California, where adaptive athletes in high school competitions can count the points for their varsity team, which is a step in the right direction. You know, but they're, you know, it's always challenging for some of this stuff, right?
So, Pete, some of the things, tell our listeners what, if they're a student at the University of Arizona and they're thinking about, you know, they want to get involved with your program, how would they do that?
Yeah, they just give me a call or email me, and they can call me right in my office at 626-5499. We are always looking for volunteers, and sometimes student workers can get employed here that travel with the team and help team manage, move some wheelchairs, fix some flat tires, and turn some wrenches on occasion, all of our athletes, all of our student athletes Every single one of them this year. We have 50 athletes at the University of Arizona that play in adaptive sports. Every single one of them, for the first time ever, is on a scholarship of some sort, which is great. And we're attracting more and more international athletes, too. So the more we're getting involved with this, you know, the bigger the sports will become.
And I understand you're having a fundraiser. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So we're the first program ever to start an adaptive golf program. And if you haven't seen adaptive golf, it's really quite amazing. I didn't know anything about it myself because I've come from the wheelchair basketball world. But there are individuals that are completely blind at golf, visually impaired golfers, amputees, individuals with spinal cord injuries. And they're golfing all around the world, really. And what's really exciting, in April, we're going to host a three-day event. I think it's called the Conquistador, where 88 of the greatest disabled or adaptive golfers in all three of those different divisions will be here in Tucson. I think they're playing that down at I always mess up the name, Suelo.
Suelo,
yep. Suelo, yeah, Suelo. Yep. And then the next day, carrying over, we're going to keep some of those athletes in the town. And on Friday, we're going to have a fundraiser called the Tee It Up Shootout. That's going to be at the Canyon Ranch Resort. And we're going to host that opportunity is unique because you get to golf with your threesome instead of a foursome. Your fourth person would be an adaptive golfer. So it's a unique opportunity for you actually to get to learn about the culture of adaptive sports right there, playing the game of golf. And, you know, golf is, we're using golf for rehab for our veterans. We got right now, two of our star golfers are veterans that lost their limbs in overseas. And we want to help promote their health and well-being too. So we're excited about having the opportunity to promote golf because we can offer it to so many other types of disabilities as well, not just wheelchair users.
You know, Pete, we're running out of time here, but it seems to me that when you combine the technological advances that we are seeing, and you mentioned the Blade Runners, and I know we've come a long way in other, not only just adaptive athletics, but prosthesis and things like that. And when you maybe combine it with, unfortunately, so many of our young people overseas in Afghanistan and Iraq who suffered traumatic injuries, are we kind of in a new era, though, of adaptive athletics? And what's the future?
We are, and it's great. You know, the NFL just announced at the NFL draft at the Wheelchair Football League. There's only four teams to start with, but they announced it this year at the draft that they're actually sponsoring. And had you told me 15 years ago that the NFL was going to sponsor an adaptive sport like wheelchair football, I would have told you you're crazy. So the future looks great and bright, and people are really starting to turn the corner and starting to understand that we're practicing 5 days a week. We're weightlifting. We're not, you know, not everybody gets a medal. It's true and pure competition, and it's good for the whole world, really, to have that ability to compete, whether you have a disability or not.
Well, Pete, we appreciate you coming on. And again, if people are interested in volunteering or competing, they can reach out to you at the U of A Adaptive Athletics Program. Anything else people should know?
No, that's it. I greatly appreciate it, guys, and keep promoting adaptive athletics. Anything I can do for you guys, you let me know.
Thank you, Pete. And we're going to put that information on our website, and we appreciate you, and thank you for all you do.
All right. Well, come on out and golf with us.
We'll be there.
Again, that was Pete Hughes, the Director of Adaptive Athletics at the University of Arizona, and we thank Tom Jones for sponsoring our Adaptive Athletics segment. And that's it, guys. Because we had so many great guests, we ran out of time again. A lot of great things happening with the show. Again, check out BehindTheLockerRoomDoor.com. And next week, we've got a coup. The coach came through for us, Coach Skern. You've got a pretty important interview next week.
Yeah, this one's going to be a lot of fun. I hope people turn in to hear Coach Rich Rodriguez. Good old Rich Rod has agreed to come and talk to me in my office and talk about some interesting subjects, particularly nowadays that he is the inventor of the spread offense.
Again, Rich Rod, who coached here and did some very good things and really kind of one of the inventors of the read option and that spread that's used so much now. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more next week. For Jeff Skurin and Glenn Howell, I'm Brad Alice. Remember, check us out on BehindTheLockerRoomDoor.com and join us next week at this time with an exclusive interview with Rich Rodriguez. Thanks for listening.